With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Tuesday, the 12th of November, 2019. My name's Davey McJimsey. Well, the people aren't happy. They have demanded roster changes, and we never shirk or shy away from what the people want here at A View from the Bridge. Changes have been made. Riding the pine tonight, as usual, host Paddy Smith. Joining him dusting the bench this week is the real deal, Joel Neil. Stepping up from a week on the short-term injured reserve is international ice hockey Simon Kitchen. Kitchy, always good to have you along.
Thanks for the big intro, Davey.
Paddy, hit that music. Just the two of us this week, so this could be a little bit of a different format than what we're used to doing here. Just a bit of a back and forwards probably this week, just situational. So, but before we start, I guess one piece of good news that has came out of the Belfast Giants camp this week, is a new baby, the one Mr. Dustin Johnner.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations to Dustin and Amy, and you know, fantastic he's certainly, he's obviously retired now, and he's always concentrated on the family anyway. In fairness, kids were always around the rink when he got the chance in Belfast, and now there's a new one for him, and he's got all these invites for the testimonial games, you know. So always congratulations to him.
Absolutely, we pass on my own congratulations to Johnner, and it's lovely to see the little baby pictures on the internet. But we move on. And we have a quick look back, hopefully quite a quick look back, Simon. What wasn't a great weekend results-wise for the Belfast Giants? We'll come on the performances in a minute. I'll do what Paddy usually does here, and I'll quickly run through the game sheet. We'll do one game at a time rather than go through them both. We'll have a wee look at Saturday night, and then we'll go on to Sunday. But Saturday night didn't start great for the Belfast Giants. First period, 1-0 defeat, if you like. 1-0 in the first period. Goals from Brett Perlini for the Nottingham Panthers. Go in the second period. They've got another couple with goals from Brett Bulmer and William Quist. Going in the third period, the Belfast Giants managed to pull one back late with a kind of 6-on-3, if you like. We're on a 5-on-3 power play. I think we pulled a goalie as well. You know, Patrick Mullen coming up with a goal to make it 3-1, but the Nottingham Panthers able to round it out with a fourth goal from Jakob Hansen in the 54th minute, sort of putting an absolute rubber stamp on what was a pretty decent performance from the home side.
Yeah, I thought the Panthers played very well, Davey. You know, I know they've been sort of ripped apart online and beaten by their own fans in the last couple of months or so. But, you know, they've made a couple of changes. I thought that the new guy Talbot came in. He was impressive. He certainly knows who the net is. Hansen seems to be scoring goals for fun. He was in Coventry last year. And I like the changes they made. And, you know, they get strong goaltending. I genuinely thought they played very well on Saturday night. The one thing I would say from our side of things is the effort, and obviously the end product wasn't good enough. I thought that we didn't get the net. I thought we made it easy for Kevin Carr. He faced, how many shots did you say it was, 30 or something, Pat?
26 shots on Carr, one goal against, obviously, with the empty net, or not the empty net, or with the 5-on-3 power play.
Yeah, you usually, you know, come up with, you know, how many shots we have. 26, I think that's probably our lowest of the season would be. But I mean, domestically, certainly. It's disappointing. You come off the back, going into Nottingham on some good form. And obviously, you know, we've been buoyant by the newcomer, Ryan Lowney, this week. Sometimes, you know, six games in a row, you're winning. And then obviously, who, you know, we're trying to improve the squad and the power play, the special team with the extra man hasn't been great, and he sort of specializes in that side of things. You know, I thought he played very well. He's not the biggest guy on the planet. Patrick Franco was pretty happy to see somebody about the same size as him join the lineup, and I thought he played very, very well. But you know, again, you're always looking for positives to take into the next day, and the big thing about Saturday night, Davey, was, you know, you don't have to wait that long again. You're playing in the same building, you don't have any travel, and you had to really put the foot down and hopefully come out with a bit of, you know, a bit of gusto the next day to a certain extent. What's your view on the game?
Well, I'm going to throw something else at you. Let's talk about the Nottingham Panthers as opposed to the Belfast Giants, if you like. A little bit of both. I throw some stats into the mix here. You know, we're talking about shots. You know, Kevin Carr saved 26, something like that, shots. We had another 30-odd shots on it. You know, the Nottingham Panthers blocked 29 shots on the Saturday night. There was big commitment levels from them. We were, again, those number of weeks ago before I think we went on a 6-game winning streak before that, and we have struggled away from home this season, and we've been held quite perimeter, and we've talked about it on various podcasts about teams keeping us to the outside. And it's a question that we'll ask Bobby Farnham later on, get a current player's view, but we'll get your view as someone that played the game as well. You know, that is it just that teams are trapping us that line and keeping us perimeter? Is there an unwillingness to go in that blue tape? Because I look at our shot charts here, and from the first period, like, there's one shot inside any sort of slot. Everything's from either above or outside the circles. Patrick Ronka gets one shot in the first period of the game. Like, I think that game on Saturday night might have been 6 or 7 minutes in before we had one shot. Like, they swarmed us for the first 3, 4, 5 shifts. We couldn't get off the ice. You know, they really pinned us in. But whenever we managed to get possession of any sort, it was disruptive possession. It wasn't good, clean. We weren't getting it back to the point for good, clean shots. They blocked lanes, as I've said. You know, they threw their body in front of 29 shots, stopped the puck getting through to Carr, had that commitment. So, you know, from a playing point of view, how do you go about breaking that down?
Got to work harder. Again, I don't think Adam was happy with the effort on Saturday night. I'm pretty sure, you know, from what we know about Adam Keith, has let the boys know about that. You know, when you've got two extra guys in the really fit squad to choose from, and obviously leaving out Liam Reddix and Jesse Forsberg, you know, Reddix has a lot of experience. I know that he was very disappointed about being left out. You know, and these things that, you know, again, sometimes when you're on really good form and you bring a change in, it can disrupt you. And it sort of did look like that was the case for a bit of the game. And, you know, obviously, you know, Gary was moved up front, where he's been, you know, we know exactly what you get from Gary Mark Garside. And I mean, you talk about it all the time, and, you know, 2-time rookie of the year. And he's just a solid, solid player. And again, I thought he was solid up front as well. But you need to work. A lot of people talk about work. We've got to work smarter as well. You talk about shooting outside the circles there, Davey. You've got to get to the blue paint. You see how many goals we've scored this season from getting into that slot. We didn't get there. I think that is, you know, again, from our lack of intensity, I honestly didn't that up for that game on Saturday. You know, the Panthers is always a difficult place to go in. You know, a difficult team to play against. We've known that over the years. But, you know, when you're coming in 6 games, you're really confident. I watched the training last week. The boys were well up for it. Friday was probably one of the most intense training sessions I've seen. And then all of a sudden, Saturday didn't turn up.
You know, says I'm wondering, is there an element of teams have worked out our style of play, the players that we have, their willingness to or not to go into that. And if they keep us outside, we become a team that gets a little bit neutered. You know, I just looking at the heat map here, and there's 10, 21, 29 shots from the point area, if you like, above the circles. And we've got 4, 7, 10. Less than 30% of our shots are getting through to the goaltender. So, you know, that would say to me, we shouldn't be shooting from there, or we need to do something different from there, because statistically, and you know I like the analytics side of the game, so if I'm analysing and I'm just a Joe Public in their bedroom that can analyse a heat map, you can be sure that coach and staff and players from other teams are looking at where we're not functioning from, and making sure that when it comes to their game plans, that they're well set to try and replicate that. You know, like, we know what we've got the Dundee Stars this week. We know what they do. They'll sit back and trap. They'll be opportunistic. They'll try and get, you know, they'll try and get the jump on us and get goals on the transition. They'll try and get one or two goals and then sit on it. You know, so they'll keep us to the outside. They've done that this season twice. They've had two victories against us. You know, so we've got to try and play that game plan. When I'm not sick, I know it's dead easy to say when you're on a six-game winning streak, you just keep going back to the same well. But we played differently in those six games than perhaps we did in the previous six games. So I'm not just quite sure what happened on Saturday night. You know, I look at the heat map here, Shiz, and I'll send it afterwards just so you see it yourself. It's just everything. There's nothing in the house. There's nothing in the low slot. There's nothing even really mid or high slot. They've just completely kept us the outside. Their work rate was good. You know, I think that in terms of a matchup player for player, we just on the night where we were a wee bit. I'd say to you, you know, looks like we're watching this game in slow motion here at times. It was just there didn't seem to be the energy that we've had in the last two or three weekends. So, you know, but as you say, we moved on very quickly to Sunday. It's very good. We'll slot in Adam Keefe's thoughts just now after the game.
Joining us on Panthers TV with Jeremiah's Chimney Systems is Belfast Giants head coach Adam Keefe. And Adam, you caught a frustrated figure tonight.
Yeah. We watched that game tonight. We watched them forecheck us. We watched them go back and retrieve pucks. We watched them beat us to pucks. Not good enough. I mean, and we got punished for it. And that, you know, I thought we almost squeaked out of the first period there. I thought Shane Owen played very well in the first period there. And then they got the one there. They deserved it, in all fairness. Second period, couldn't really regain some composure and get some shifts down low and wear them down. We weren't willing to put pucks in behind them, and because that's, you know, that's hard work. And tonight we weren't willing to do that. We got a 6-on-3 goal, which I mean, you should get a 6-on-3 goal. So aside from that, we were shut out, and that's just not good enough right now. I mean, so the good news is we'll come back here tomorrow and we have to have an answer.
And what kind of response are you expecting from your team in that game tomorrow?
A big one. You know, we're a team with a few extra players right now, and they certainly didn't play like it tonight.
And then we move on to Sunday's game, says, and as you said earlier, you know the great thing about hockey when you've had a difficult night the night before is you get straight back to it and against the same team again. And I thought we played a little bit of a better game for sure, but unfortunately we came out on the wrong end of a 2-0 defeat. Only the fourth time in Adam Keefe's tenure that we've been nilled, unfortunately. Goals from Mark Matheson and then the empty netter right at the end of the game from Sam Herr to seal the 2-0 victory. But, you know, this was also bookmarked right at the very start of the game. Simon, I think it was only maybe second, third shift. Guy Lepine and the captain, Matt Pelish, throwing the gloves down.
Yeah, there was an incident just before that. I mean, the camera work from the Panthers didn't catch it. You know, with the guys coming together in the outset, I think they got the one in the NIC. But Lepine, there was one of our guys went in to just put the pressure on Lepine. Lepine looked as if he'd put the leg out a bit. You know, and obviously, you know, you sort of just on the camera on the left hand side of the screen, you seen Pels happy with it. With the play, he didn't hesitate to go around and drop the gloves with him, you know. And certainly, you hear the commentary on the, I think it's Dan Green getting overexcited about come on Tets and Tetler. Or sorry, not Tets. We'll come back to that one just a minute. But you know, you talk about the obviously Lepine's a big lad. He team and or was a captain of that team. Sorry, Sam Harris this year. We'll have a cracker here tonight, aren't we? but obviously, our captain stands up for his teammates and. And, you know, it was a good scrap, nice couple of good punches in, and the big takedown punch from Pelly, you know, he just caught him in the side of the head and down he went, you know, so it's good to see a little bit of physicality in there. You know, everybody loves the scrap, do they?
And that was to set the kind of tone. That was coming maybe a little bit from Lepine saying, you know, I know it's a new night and you're up for it, but, you know, you're in our barn or it might have been Matt Pelly saying, you know, we're a different team from last night. And we talk about shots in the first game and we talk about opportunities and chances and all that we had. You know, in terms of shots, the Belfast Giants, 60 attempts on goal. Again, a lot of blocked shots from the Nottingham Panthers, only 30 getting through to Carr. Belfast Giants, on the other hand, limit the Nottingham Panthers to only 20 shots at home. But unfortunately, you know, that early goal, or the goal that got about halfway through the game, you know, we were in the game the whole night. And I suppose from Owen's point of view, from Shane Owen across the weekend, perhaps we'll maybe be critical of a couple that were let in on the Saturday night. But on Sunday, you know, he's given us a chance to win in the NIC.
I thought Owen was excellent on Sunday night. You know, I actually thought it was a really good. I enjoyed watching the game, and you know, you get the Panthers. You know, they obviously had the confidence up from Saturday night. Very physical. Talk about Pelich and Lapine, and then Bobby Farr. We're getting on shortly, and Josh Teplow. And as I said, Dan Green was overexcited about Teplow. You know, Bobby Farnham's given up at least a foot and probably at least a stone, maybe a stone and a half, on Teplow. And Teplow did get a few in, but Bobby, you know, got the takedown. He stood up well. He took the punches and took the big lad down. And again, you know, for me, that's a good penalty for Nottingham to take. It's a good trade-off. Bobby, you know, we know what he brings to the game. It's his physicality. He throws the body. But when Bobby's sitting in the box for 5 minutes and Teplow or Brit defender sitting in the box for 5 minutes, it's, you know, you're taking a big part of our physicality out of that game. So,
would this be a good time just to bring Bobby Farnham in and ask him just all about this?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
This is Adam Keefe, and you're listening to the best podcast in the Elite League, A View from the Bridge.
And as I was saying, Simon, just about the 14-minute mark of the first period after Matt Pelich had his little chat with Guy Lapine, Bobby Farnham goes in and has a little chat. Who better to talk about it, says? Want to introduce him?
Absolutely. The Giants number 46. It's only Bobby f***ing Farnham.
Welcome along to View from the Bridge again, Bobby. It's great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Mate, we were just talking there, as you say, we talked about the Saturday night game. We're on to Sunday. Matt Pelich has tried to set a bit of a tone with Guy Lapine there after sort of second, third shift. Same for yourself with Teplow behind the net. Just talk us through what's happened there.
Yeah, I think Pelly did an awesome job, obviously, fighting, you know, after the game we had on Saturday night. It was great to see your captain, your leader, come out and do that. And I think the boys were kind of fired up. I know I was. And, you know, I just tried to stop in front of the net. And then I think it was just maybe a little shove. And then just said, do you want to fight? And he said yes. So it was a big boy, but it was fun to mix one in again.
Going to ask you like a bit of an analytical question, if you like. We've talked about the way this team has played over the last number of weeks, and we kind of went on a six game win streak where we scored a lot of goals from in the house, from the low slot, mid slot, and Saturday and Sunday we were kept really perimeter. Like I've got the heat maps here of where the shots and stuff are coming in from, and we just didn't either night really get inside. Is that you know, credit to the opposition? They blocked a lot of shots. They blocked about 50 shots over the course of the weekend. Is that a lot of credit to the opposition, or do we have to look at ourselves as well as not getting inside there?
I think it's a combination of both, and I think you have to give credit to Nottingham for playing the way they played against us last week, and I thought they were a good team. I thought they were the best, you know, best team that we've played in our league so far. And they were a lot different team from when we played them in Belfast, you know, over a month ago. So credit to them in that regard. But then you have to, you know, put some of the onus on yourself as a team and look yourself in the mirror and understand what makes us good. When we were scoring a lot of goals, how we were getting them. We were in front of the goalie we were, you know, banging home second rebound chances, but we were penetrating, you know, and I didn't think we penetrated enough this past weekend to be successful.
The stats, the charts that would back that all up. What can we do? You know, we've outchanced them, if you like, almost 2-1. We sort of threw the puck in the bin from Saturday night. It's done and dusted. Sunday was our focus. We went in there. OE gave us a chance to stay in the game. We only, you know, one goal, empty netter, don't really count, you know. As far as it goes, you know, with 60 shots on, off, blocked, whatever, you know, we should really be converting there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, that it can be somewhat of a mentality. It can be, but, you know, sometimes you get a hot goalie and sometimes You know, it just, the puck isn't going in, you know, and it's happened to us, you know, a couple times this year, but I have a lot of confidence, obviously, in this team and, you know, getting those bounces and being able to generate a lot of offense throughout. So I just think it's something that you can't get. It's hard to overanalyze it because it was, you know, it was just a weekend kind of thing. So I just think you just want to start some practice. First of all, you try to score goals in practice, and then that'll translate to games, and then go from there.
Bobby, coming out of North America, what's been the biggest transition that you've had?
It's definitely a lot different. I mean, you could say I know our league kind of has all different sizes of arenas, right? So it's not, but the bigger ice is a transition and playing a different game. I also think the mentality's different, you know, like for pretty much predominantly for 7 years, you're playing a very specific role in North America where you're playing this fourth line energy agitator, you know, penalty killer type of role. And you want to bring that same style over here. But at the same time, you have to have a new mindset as well, as that you're probably playing about 7-8 more minutes than you were, you know, for a lot of your career in North America. And you're probably still relied on to produce and be productive over here. And that's something that is, from a mentality standpoint, is a little bit different. You know, you got to find your way, because over there for so long, you're just so focused in doing your job, like production would come when it came. But over here, you want to produce, and you have to produce, and you have to produce throughout your whole lineup. So it's a change in mentality, but just getting acclimated overall to being overseas and living in a new country and all that, like, that was an adjustment, but finally feel very settled in, and it feels good.
And I know you had your dad over a couple of weeks ago. How did he?
Yeah, he loves it. He's come over a couple times already. He's already planning the next trip. So the boys have been having a good time when he comes over.
Moving into Elite League action, and you know, I think everybody's going to remember your probably one of your first shifts when that guy from the Czech Republic just did not see you coming. But we all know that your game's a big part of your game is the physicality. And I'm not going to put you in the spot for the views or the individuals. I can certainly dig in with the officials and views, and everybody knows about our view on that. But are you enjoying the physicality?
Yeah,
the younger part, you know.
Yeah. I'm enjoying the physicality, and it's still a pretty North American style. Like I said, the rink's a little bit bigger. You can't always finish, you know, and everyone's so moves so well on this big ice as well, like in particular D-man. So you can't really afford to go out of position to make a hit all the time and miss a guy and then, you know, have him beat you up the ice. But I am enjoying the physicality. I think we have a physical team. I think throughout our lineup, we're a very hard team to play against. And I think that's going to be a big sticking point and a big MO of ours throughout this season. If we can bring that physicality and that grit and that little, the sandpaper, you know, with a little, you know, agitation style. I think that'll be, you know, a good point for us, you know, to have throughout the year.
Bobby, we've talked on numerous podcasts over a number of years, but it becomes more and more prevalent at the minute. Obviously, the game as a whole, it drips down from the NHL down. You know, the move away from hits the head, fighting and all that is coming less and less in the game. And from your own role, how tricky is it to cross that line between you want to be more physical, or you might want to spark something or have a fight, but you've got it in the back of your head that more than half the time, statistically way more than half the time in this league now, you're going to get 2 + 5 + 10 more than likely?
Yeah, I know because we were talking with Pelly with that the other night, just taking off your helmet and then you lose him for 17 minutes, you know. You know, it's kind of one of those things throughout your career. You're always trying to toe that line of physicality and what you do, but you don't want to sit in the box, and you can't really afford to, you know, like sit in the box. You need to be deep in this league, and I think our depth is great. So you don't really want to have a guy sitting in the box for that long. So it is something that you have to be cognizant of and aware of, but it's something you don't want to cross the line all the time. But there is a time and a place, like I said, for a fight or for a big hit or for a big spark, you know, and you can kind of sense that and feel that within games too. It still exists, even though the game is moving away from, you know, from a little bit more of that old school style.
Listen, we only put on Twitter there about 9 o'clock that Bobby Farnham was coming on the TFA tonight, and we've been absolutely inundated. That my phone has just lit up here with questions for you.
Yeah.
So we'll move over to Twitter here for a couple of questions for you. One from Donna Mooney. Donna says, "What's been your highlight so far playing for Belfast?"
I would say like that first weekend so far was pretty cool in the Champions League. Augsburg brought those people over.
Yeah.
We were playing in Czech Republic. The season was starting. I thought that first weekend was like such a good splash, like into Belfast. Like it was great. You know, the fans were great. The arena's packed and it was loud. And I thought that was really cool. And I'm just looking forward to some of those big games down the stretch in our league as well. You know, whether it's Challenge Cup or, you know, in the league, but I'm looking forward to, you know, the atmosphere is always great, but I'm looking forward to that little extra again down the stretch too.
Here's a question and an offer of sorts. It's from Paul McGrillan. What's your favorite Sunday dinner? And if you want, you can call up the R's. I'll cook. I live close by you. A bit scary, but
sounds like a bit of a stalker.
So favorite Sunday dinner and do you want to go?
Favorite Sunday dinner and do you want to go? Like to eat out or to cook in?
Anything. What if you could have something on Sunday for your dinner and you weren't playing a game, what would you have?
Wasn't playing a game. I would go with a that's a good question. I'd say a Sunday dinner, I'd gotta go with a nice steak. And I'd say a nice steak, yeah. Maybe just a meat and potatoes meal, a glass of red wine, something. So I would say my favorite steak so far in Belfast to eat out was Sticks and Stones. I like that the sizzle plate over there, and that'd probably be my spot. And in terms of the invite, I'll go to dinner.
Thomas Brownlee's asked us, have you picked up any local slang?
Oh, the women?
No. Oh God, no! We're opening up a whole new can of worms here. No, have you picked up any local slang?
What kind of podcast you guys running over here?
Oh, well, you'd be surprised. Some weeks. No, what it means is, have you picked up any local sayings? Any local chirping to a certain extent? Like, what's the crack?
Yeah, what's the crack? That's the common one. Like, hey, yeah, just saying hi, yeah, things like that. It's great to listen to. And I think when I'm trying to hear the accent, I feel like I get it back on the other side of it too. Like some things that I say, I can tell are not like, you don't say that over here. I say, what's up? And somebody will say, good, you know, like it's just not a common phrase. So we missed the point on that, but I'm still learning a lot.
And after your debut on the piano when Shane Instagram last week, what's your favorite song to play on the piano, and what kind of music are you into?
I'm kind of into everything. I always say I like good music, so I'm definitely not like as much of a hip hoppy guy. But like before the games, I do like some of the, like Kygo and Avicii stuff, but then I like a lot of classical tunes too. Like I like playing Let It Be by the Beatles on the piano. That might be my favorite one to play. Or let me see what else can I play. And then that song Shallow that I was playing in that, and what The Scientist by Coldplay.
You do realize that, you know, Mark Garside did gigs and stuff like that a few years ago.
Yep. well, I'm not as good as Gary is yet. I just started taking lessons like a year and a half ago. So, and now I'm a little bit more self-taught. So I've got a long way to go before I'm thinking about doing any gigs in the Cathedral Quarter.
Well, I know that Gary's looking at the boys to get up on stage at his testimonial dinner. So, well, you've got another couple of months to practice there. But we'll go back to Twitter here. Rorzo93 has asked, you've got yourself into a bit of a situation, bit of a bar fight in Belfast. Which former teammate, past or present, would you want to be digging in with you?
I'll say presently, I'll give it to Matt Pelich. I'll take the big bald guy on my side. And then in the past, that'll be a toss up between Pierre-Luc Letourneau LeBlond and Steve McIntyre. I would take those two guys.
There's definitely two big boys.
Yeah.
Bobby, I want to ask you about yourself and playing in the NHL. You know, you get the opportunity, you get called up. Who makes a call to you? And who's the first person you called about it?
I got called up after a game in my third season, and we played Bridgeport at home, and they called me and Brian Rust as well. We got called up together for a game in Columbus, and there were, I think, Billy Guerin and Jason Botterill were at the game, and they called us both in and called us both at the in at the same time. And then I called my dad right away, and then I was on a flight early in the, I think I had an early car service to Philly, and then flew out to Columbus, but I didn't sleep a wink for probably 48 hours after that. We played back-to-back games, so I didn't sleep at all for 2 days. It was that exciting, and it was an adrenaline rush that's really hard to describe.
I'm sorry, Sis, I just follow that up before you go there. I'm sure you had that same adrenaline rush when Steve Thornton and Adam Keefe called you this summer. Who did you phone whenever you signed a contract in Belfast? Was it your dad again?
Yeah, it's usually my dad. It's always, and my dad. Parents have been there always, you know, through everything. They've watched so many games. They've listened to so many ups and down conversations, you know, throughout your career. But my dad's always usually, he usually gets the first hockey call, you know. And if I want to feel good about myself, then I'll call my mom. But, you know, for the most part, it's my dad. But yeah, I did. I was kind of talked it through with him this summer when Steve and Kiefer were calling me as well, and I was very excited to have the opportunity to come over here, and it has not disappointed at all. It's been an incredible city.
I can't leave it without asking to play with one of the best players in the world, Sidney Crosby. You know, you play with Crosby, you play with Chris Letang, you play with Evgeny Malkin. Yeah. You've got all these guys, and Marc-Andre Fleury as well, I think, was there at the time.
Yes.
You know, what's it like? What's the intensity like in practice? What's it like to be out there with those guys?
It's incredible. I mean, I'll say that the Pittsburgh organization, first and foremost, is as top-notch as you would think it is, from the minor leagues right through. The way they treat you, they treat their players. But like when you walk in to training camp in Pittsburgh and you see those guys, it's just like instantly, it's just like, this is a winning organization. This is a winning team. And then you watch how they compete, like all those guys you mentioned, you watch those guys in practice and Sid in particular, how they compete and how they play every day. It was like the best learning experience you could ever have, you know, when you're a little bit younger in your career, just to be on the ice with those guys, to watch the best player in the world work the way he does, was incredible. It was awesome.
When we have hockey guys on and they talk about their careers and growing up and, you know, you've referenced your mum and dad there.
Yeah.
How important were they to your career, your mum, dad, perhaps grandparents? You hear about it all the time. they are the most, and I try to do it for my kids, never miss a game and all that kind of stuff. How important was it, and probably still is, that your dad got the games, took you to games, took, got up early, took you to practice? You, would you have been a hockey player without those guys?
No, I mean, I mean, absolutely. I don't know what would have happened, but I'll tell you one thing is, like, your parents, obviously, first and foremost, the most important, but then it trickles out to the rest of your family, you know, like your sisters, your cousins, your aunts, uncles. It's incredible to see, you know, when you make, you know, professional hockey too, and you look, and like now, like that I'm later on in my career now, and you can really look back and think about all these people. It's like, I mean, not only are you here because of all of them, but at the same time, it was all worth it because they were able to watch you and they caught so much joy out of your successes as well. And I can't, like, that's the one thing when I retire is what I think about most is just how many people have been so supportive of me and showed up at, you know, showed up at games. Like, those are my favorite moments. Like, I won't even remember the game sometimes because I'll just remember that, like, oh, my cousin, my buddy, my dad, my mom were at this in particular game, you know? So that's what really makes it all worthwhile.
Bob, listen, I think it's been one of the best. We always finish with a wee quick-fire question. The question's written by my daughter, Jasmine. These ones, believe it or not, normally she comes up with some crackers, but these are all based on hockey. So she took a bit of time earlier. And it's just first thing comes into your mind, and we'll see where we get to, okay?
All right.
Your earliest memory of hockey?
Learned to skate 3 years old at Brooks School right down the road, and I tried to stay out there for the full 50-minute ice session, and I could never make it. And I have this vivid memory of being 3 years old and my dad just undoing my skates, my little tackless tack skates at that point.
Brilliant. Your first hockey team?
First hockey team would have been, I was playing for, so it would have been around the same time. First, like, legit travel team was my hometown in North Andover. And then I also played for the Valley Junior Warriors simultaneously there. And that was kind of like the select team.
Who's your favorite NHL team?
As a
kid.
Of course, I'm Boston through and through with all my sports teams. So it was for sure the Bruins.
Best hockey player ever played with?
Crosby.
Best hockey player ever played against?
Oh. That's a tough one, I guess. I got to branch out on this one. So who's...
Do you want to come back to that one and let you think about it?
Okay.
Okay. Who's been your hardest opponent?
Hardest opponent, jeez. Had some battles. I used to battle this guy, Steve Alexi, in the minors, and we fought a few times, and I don't know, he always kind of pops into my head, like, over the years, probably played him about 20 times.
These ones are all based on the Giants. Who's the funniest guy in the room?
That's like, that might be the hardest question you ask all day. We have some personalities on this team, but I'm going to give it to the guy who makes me shake my head but also howl laughing on a consistent basis is Jesse Forsberg.
Most stylish teammate, and I know it can't be Jesse.
Stylish. it's not the Sasky boy on the style, I'll tell you that. Most stylish. I will give it... After the turtleneck Longer was wearing the other night, I don't think I can give it to him anymore, but maybe I'll give it to Shane Owen, because he wears the couple cool hats.
Who's likely to forget their passport in a CHL game?
Me.
Okay.
Murphy. Murph. That's you'll love that story. I said, Murph, where are you going? He goes, Belfast. I was like, aren't we going to Luleå?
I know. I was told. It was funny. And the last one, and this is because you took a pick. Where's your favorite rink? Where's your favorite rink to play in?
Oh, I think Montreal is the best.
You took a out of me last week after I said,
What's that?
Remember you took the piss out of me last week at the ice bowl?
Yeah. The Dundonald Ice Bowl is my second favorite rink to play.
Listen, that's the Bobby. You've been a great guest, but the best luck this weekend.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
Right, so we'll move on. And before we look forward to around the league and stuff, you were managed to get down to training as normal this morning, and you got a chat to a couple of boys.
Yeah, I had a chat with a couple of lads this morning. This and Ryan Lowney was one of them, Curtis Leonard. And then we had a really good chat with Jeff Mason. Adam was there, but it seemed Jeff Mason sort of hanging about a bit more. The chat with Mason, so hopefully you enjoy the interviews.
Joined by Ryan Lowney, Tuesday morning after practice. Ryan, your first experience of the IHL at the weekend, and unfortunately two losses against the Nottingham Panthers. But what's your thoughts on the standard of the league, and obviously how the guys played at the weekend?
Super competitive league. Guys work hard here, and you can really noticeable right off the first game. Nottingham's a good team. They came out hard. Like I said, it's a pretty competitive league, so it was hard all around.
Last week, you got a full week of practice in with the boys. Obviously, you know, it's early days for yourself in Belfast, but what's your thoughts on how your teammates are coming along with you as well?
Oh, they've been great. Like I said, they've been awesome. They've been really helpful, you know, with my transition here and everything. They've been, you know, nice to me, acclimated me pretty well. So they've been great. Nothing else to say.
Looking forward to this weekend. You're standing at the SSE Arena at the minute. You've got the opportunity to play at Dundee Stars. They're a tough team to play against again. They've had success against us this year. You looking forward to the game?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, first home game is going to be always pretty exciting. Great rink here, I heard, and everything. So I'm excited to get going, and hopefully get a win this weekend.
Curtis Leonard, Tuesday after practice, boys getting get the legs moving after a weekend against the Nottingham Panthers. You know, you've had success in that building last year. Must have felt tough coming out there with no points this weekend.
Yeah, obviously it's frustrating. You never want to come out of lose any game, but when you lose back to back, it's especially when you're on a roll, it's not the best.
Saturday's game against the Panthers, kind of tough. Saturday's game against the Panthers, I think it's fair to say the boys, were disappointed with the result, but they put up a better performance on Sunday, although, again, they're not coming up with any of the points is disappointing. But moving on to this weekend, Dundee Stars, always a tough team to play against, especially when they put five men behind the puck.
Yeah, they're a frustrating team to play against sometimes. They sit back in that trap and they're disciplined with how they play, but they're opportunistic. They wait for you to make mistakes and then they try and capitalize. So if you manage the puck well through the neutral zone, enter in there and take care of the puck, we're going to have success.
Ryan Lowney, ex-teammate of yours in Fort Wayne, comes in, slots in alongside you in the first game. How do you think he stood up to EIHL competition?
Yeah, no, I think Lowney's looked good. He's a small puck moving defenseman, but you saw he was jumping in the rush. He comes up the weak side, he attacks, gives a four-man attack off the rush, and I thought he looked good. He competed hard. He made smart plays when he had to, and unfortunately he didn't get the taste of winning yet here, but it'll come here soon enough.
Jeff Mason, Tuesday morning after practice, disappointing weekend against the Nottingham Panthers. I think the Panthers come into the game on a good bit of form, but they got really strong goaltending, and unfortunately we come away with no points.
Yeah, you know, Saturday night, obviously not the effort that we were hoping for. I give Nottingham credit. They played a really good game on Saturday night. I think they're an improved team. I think the changes that they've made have really helped solidify their lineup, and I think they're a much better team than eighth place or whatever it is they're sitting in. We weren't really happy with our performance or our effort. Again, Sunday, much better effort. I thought we carried a good chunk of the play, but again, didn't get the result that we wanted. Tough building to go into and take points. That said, we expected to come out of that building or out of that weekend with points. So, we couldn't. We're much improved on Sunday, but we couldn't find a way to create some offense, which is something that we've got to continually strive to do and find ways to get pucks to the net, get traffic. And I thought their goalie had a really good weekend, but I thought a lot of times we let him, we let him see pucks and we let him settle in. And once you let a goalie do that, it's tough to get pucks behind them.
When you look at the the games at the weekend, as I say, the Nottingham Panthers, the team which they put out this weekend with those changes, and the Giants 3-0 victory against them in September, it was like chalk and cheese.
Yeah, you know, it. I thought we played a really good game against them here at home the first time around, and you know, expected that we would hopefully be able to go in and do that to them in their building. Unfortunately, it wasn't the case. But like I said, we were pleased with the effort on Sunday, not the result. And we've just got to find ways to, in some of those games, we've got to find ways to create some offense. And, you know, Nottingham's going to be a tough team that, you know, you don't want to be chasing the game against them. So we got to find ways to get a lead early in that game and go from there.
We brought a newcomer in ourselves last week, Ryan Lowney. Obviously, with it being a tough weekend for the team, how do you think he settled in?
I thought he was a bright spot on the weekend. We were happy with how he played. I thought he made some good decisions with the puck, distributed the puck well, you know, was solid defensively. I thought he added a little spark to our power play. You know, and hopefully good things going forward from him.
Healthy scratches must be a really, really tough decision to make, especially when you've got a full roster as the coaching staff together. Missing Reddix on Saturday, bringing him back into the lineup. Obviously, Forsberg's been out for a couple of games now. But how do the players take that? You know, how would you expect them to take that as well?
Well, it's not easy for anyone. It's not easy, you know, for coaches making those decisions on who's going to come out. It's not easy for the players that go out. The hope is that, you know, the hope is that that person, when they come out of the lineup, they watch the game. Sometimes when you're sitting out, you get a good understanding of the game and how things are going, and you hope that they're ready to come back in and contribute and see ways that maybe they could help contribute more. And so, you know, it's not easy, but it's part of the game at every level that. You know, and sometimes there's different reasons for some of the lineups on certain nights or coaches' decisions, and you know, we're just trying to as a coaching staff, we're trying to come up with ways and try to give us ourselves the best chance to win on any given night, and you know, sometimes doesn't mean the same guys will be out all the time or anything like that. It's just like I said, there's a lot of different factors that go into it, and you know, the lineup was what it was on Saturday, and we tried changing it around a bit on Sunday, and you know, fortunately we still weren't able to get the points, but you know, we're going to continue to evaluate and you know, going into this weekend and every weekend after, try to make this decisions that we think best give us a chance to win on any given night.
You spent 8-9 years in the league playing, your first year behind the bench. The standard list league now is certainly, with the respect, a hell of a lot better than what it was when you first came into it.
It really is. I mean, I think the difference is when I first came into this league, top four or five teams were really good, and then the bottom teams were not very good at all. And there was, you know, first few years there was kind of gimme games or games that you knew you absolutely could not lose or your season was over. It's not that case anymore, and each year on year it gets more competitive. And look, I think it's this year, I think anyone can beat anyone on any given night. So I think that you know, there will be the team that wins the league will probably have more losses because the league is so balanced. So the standard is very good. I think that this league doesn't get credit. People don't rate this league enough from the outside, whether that be, you know, other teams or coaches or whatever, or even players. A lot of players come in and think they're going to tear this league up, and it's not, you know, this isn't a men's league. This is a very competitive league now, top to bottom, with some very good players.
And let's move on, Simon. Let's have a quick look around the league. Now, I don't know how, you know, I think you're a bit like me at times. You're not really that bothered about what's going on in the league, certainly at this stage of the season, because it's still quite early. But one big thing, a couple of player moves in. Puskaric out at the Storm and Henrik Samuelsson in. That's quite a pickup for them. First round draft pick.
Yeah, I've seen that today. I'm actually being out. I mean, Puskaric played here in the NCAA for Vermont a few years ago. And a really good player. But I think it's probably, from the way guys are talking about this kid Samuelsson, You know, it's hopefully, well, not hopefully at all, a good move for Manchester. But, you know, if he comes from certainly very good pedigree, his dad won the Stanley Cup a couple of times, I believe, you know, played by a lot of NHL teams. So he's certainly been around good hockey players all his life, and we'll wait and see what comes off the storm. I don't think we face him until it's either late January, early February now. We've already played four times this season, so, you know, it's going to be a while before we see them again.
And obviously a little bit of a change as well at Cardiff, player moving out and Morrison coming in.
I didn't see the guy Morrison, the Finnish fella, leaving. I'm being a bit surprised at that because he looked as if he was a player. But you said it already at the start of the second segment, Davey. I really guess.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. Let me just have a wee quick look here, Samson, any other GB under 20 call ups. And obviously our own Caitlin Morrison was involved with the GB underage ladies there, coming up with that Home Nations triumph there over the weekend.
That's a big hero. Her dad's a big hero of yours, mate. You're probably you should throw in your thoughts about that. But fantastic. I mean, great to see her getting a goal and obviously, you know, Rev and Yvonne heading over to take her over and support her as well. Obviously, they're retired now, so plenty of time on their hands. But I know Caitlin's mum and dad really appreciate the time and effort that Rev and Yvonne put into it as well. But, you know, you've already said it. You know, David, Mo Morrison's big hero of yours, David.
But we talked five minutes ago to Bobby Farnham there, and we were talking about parents and grandparents and, you know, obviously Mark playing for the Giants and coming up through different teams that you probably played for yourself and leagues, and how he probably grew up the hard way, having to go across to Scotland, much like yourself, you know, for those games, and a bit like the SNL team's doing at the minute. You know, Caitlin had that to look up with. She was always around the rink. Her mum played the game. Her mum was, there, you know, the family is steeped in it. And it's fantastic that, you know, Rev and Yvonne are able to go and experience all those things with her, but be their grandparents, be the family, be the blanket round her when she needs it. But they looked like they had an absolute ball, and that Team GB ladies team's doing really well. It's growing up together, so that can only bode well for the senior team, you know, going down the line. A lot of those girls are going to go on to, you know, senior representation, but, you know, absolute credit to them. And around the league, Simon, we'll have a quick look at the standings. Let's see if I click this button, what happens. Right, Glasgow Clan, top of the pile, 19 points from 14 games. Second, Sheffield Steelers, just a point further back, but with a couple of games more played. Then comes Belfast Giants, one game in hand. So the Belfast Giants, it's the old adage, you know, games in hand, point in the bag, whatever. But the Giants won that game in hand. They would actually go top of the pile at the minute. And then a further 2 points back with another game in hand, obviously being the Cardiff Devils on 16. So it's all tight. They're tight around the top. You know, there is from... You know, from 8th to, because I can't scroll down any further than that, I can. From 8th to 1st, there's only, you know, 6 points separating them. So the league is pretty tight as the games start to, you know, get the most teams playing the same amount of games. And of course, Nottingham Panthers going into European action. I think it's this coming weekend.
Yeah, look, again, Davey, it's early. You know, there's a long, long way to go, but this league's going to be the tightest yet. You know, as a 10 group, if you know what I mean, not so much the top where the Giants and Cardiff last year and Cardiff, you know, took their foot off the pedal against Coventry and we won. But, you know, I'm really enjoying what I'm seeing, the parity throughout the league and the players that are being brought in, you know, and the people talk about budgets and, you know, what sort of money people are, what teams are spending. There's a lot of money being spent in this league. And I don't think it's finished yet. I think that the other teams are going to try and make changes. In Sheffield, they're always itchy to try and bring new guys in. They've started the league well. They're scoring a lot of goals, but there's a long, long, long way in this season.
It's the 12th of November, Simon, and the Challenge Cup group stage is finally almost over. The Belfast Giants group obviously contained the Dundee Stars and the Glasgow Clan, who are going to match up against each other in the quarterfinals. The Belfast Giants... opponent unknown yet. The Guildford Flames, the Cardiff Devils, Sheffield Steelers and Nottingham Panthers all through. And there's another game. A play in the Coventry Blaze take on the Manchester Storm. So after 8 games each, they've still got another game to stay in the competition. So we'll just keep an eye on that. There's not really much point in talking about it anymore.
Well, there is, because it's a bloody shambles.
Yeah. Anyway, right, we'll move on and have a real quick look at this weekend, because this is the part of the show that I detest. trying to predict games, what's going to happen. But
this I'm going to turn it on. Yeah, I don't. You're always trying to wiggle out. Let's tell.
We've still got to talk about it, so I'll come to you first, Simon.
No, I'm really asking. No, move back up here a minute, David. We start off the weekend against Dundee. You know, Dundee at home, and then I know your big mate in Dundee, Omar Pacha, has been having a chat with Joel Neal. But first of all, I want to hear from what your view is on it. I know you're always trying to wriggle out this one, but you've got the stats. You know ins and outs of the way Dundee play. So let's hear your thoughts on it.
I will give you my thoughts on this, Simon, but that was a very salient reminder that Joel, the real deal Joel Neal, earlier on got to speak with Omar Pasha.
It is always a pleasure to welcome back a friend of the show, Dundee Stars head coach Omar Pasha. Pasha, it's been a wintry, cold, dark day on this side of the Irish Sea. How's life on the east coast of Scotland today?
Similar. I don't think we had a bit of rain in the morning, but yeah, dark outside now, so I guess we're in the UK. We all have pretty much the same weather.
Yeah, it's hockey weather season. But listen, last time we spoke was obviously following the Giants 7-2 win over the Stars in Belfast. Fair to say that seemed like a bit of a tough night for you personally. Yeah. You know, I came to see you in the tunnel, and it wasn't the happy smiling patch I was used to. But you know, the next night, what did you do? You went back home and you beat the league's hot side, the Glasgow Clan 3-2. This past weekend, you bounced back from a 0 point weekend and took all four on offer with wins over Fife and Manchester. Would it be fair to say that the Dundee Stars this year maybe don't have the consistency right now, but they certainly have the character?
Yeah, I mean, I think every team goes through phases when they try to, you know, obviously when they go through a down spell, and that's what we had. You know, for we went 1-9, I think, in our last 10 before the weekend, and you know, we you know, from you know, goal reviews to our own play, I felt we found ways to lose games. And you know, after that, I guess that pumping we got against you guys, I thought after that we had a big win against Glasgow, and you know, we I felt we played better throughout that week, even though the results didn't show. We had a good first two periods. Well, I thought we had a good road game against Nottingham. It just an unlucky bounce off the line and then right to their guy, and they made it 3-2, and that changed the game. And then after, you know, the game, we went to Glasgow and a really good first opening period, and then the second period wasn't too good, but we were still in the game. And against Cardiff, you know, we outshot them, and on a different night maybe we get the point. So it was a bit of a frustrating week after that, but you know, we had a good meetings. We changed a few things, and you know, we're off now to last past weekend, 4 point weekend. So hopefully that can give us a bit of momentum now moving forward.
And despite that 7-2 defeat, you've actually had the Giants number twice so far this season. And that's obviously a big part of the reason the Stars have topped Group A of the Challenge Cup. Adam Keefe's side, meanwhile, are looking to bounce back from a goose egg in Nottingham this past weekend. How do you feel about your return to the SSE Arena on Saturday? And how do the boys feel? Are they up for it?
Well, listen, you know, Belfast now, obviously, they had the results they had this weekend, so we expect them to come out hard, especially at home. And last time we played you guys, I thought, you know, that first period, you guys came out really hard. Second period, you know, we were able to pull it back to 3-2, but after that, I just felt they took over a bit the game. But, no, I mean, we played two games at the start of the season in the Challenge Cup, which obviously helped us finish first in the overall group stage. So, you know, I think the guys are always excited to play in Belfast. I mean, my team, even last year, we had guys, you know, young guys go to the SSC, you know, big arena, you know, Saturday night. So it's going to be a good atmosphere, and it's always a fun place to play. And hopefully we can just mimic the first two times we played you guys, though.
Well, no comment on that part, but I want to zero in on one player from the last game. Kind of made his mark. That was one Elgin Pearce. You obviously mentioned that 3-2 goal in the second period, which he scored. He then got all up in the grill of Paul Swindlehurst and finally dropped the gloves with Jean Dupuy. He strikes me, and he struck me on the night, as a kind of Darryl Lloyd character. You know, a guy who fans will adore if he's wearing your jersey, but you'll absolutely hate him as an opponent. What's been your impression of Elgin Pearce, the hockey player, so far this season? And if you don't mind, tell me a bit about Elgin Pearce, the man off ice.
Oh, Pearce, he's a great character guy. I think he you know, off the ice with a human being, you know, he values his, you know, obviously his body in a sense where he takes care of himself really, really well. He's an ultimate professional. On the ice, Algin, you know, he's had some really good success at times. And at times, I think, you know, he'll probably be the first one to say he tries a bit too hard, but I think he's one of our key guys up front. He's got tremendous skill. He's got great character. You know, I think we're going to need guys like himself to, you know, kind of take over the lead on the, with the team. But I thought this weekend he worked extremely hard, and you know, we're just trying to find some combinations up front, and it's important we get Piercy to play at his best every night. But no, character wise, I thought for a good, even when we were losing, there was a 2-3 week span where I felt he was our best player, and you know, we just need him to be every week at his best. But Algin, so far, he's impressed us, you know, not only with his skill set as a player, but most importantly as how he competes on the ice. And meeting guys like that, and I think he's good. He's an influential guy, too. So when guys saw, obviously, that fight he got, you know, against you guys, seemed to almost wake up the guys and realize, oh, wow, it's Piercy, you know, our top player, one of our top players and leading scorer, you know, he's willing to, you know, get in there and get dirty for us. Like, we gotta, you know, it went a long way with our younger guys. So, you know, he's a guy that I think could be a great asset to our team, and I think he would be one of the good players in the league. He just has to keep it going, and we just, again, as a team, we just have to find ways to keep producing or just a bit more offensively. And obviously, he's one of those guys that I expect to have you know, the remainder of the season a go-to guy.
And I want to change gears just for 1 second. Belfast is gearing up for the Friendship Four NCAA tournament once again. You obviously played college yourself at Castledon State. How do you look back on your time at college playing hockey and the lifestyle and everything that went with it? Were those good years for you, or is mixing kind of sport and study a real grind?
I think with the structure they have, I think they're probably better organized than what we have back in the day. I think nowadays, like, there is more, again, you know, you have obviously your hours to study and then you have your hours to practice and play. So I think the structure is good. I think it's important for every player, you know, to get something while, you know, if they're playing university hockey, that means they have a degree. So they're already thinking about their future, which I think is really important. Mm-hmm. And if not, I mean, there's a lot of guys that I played with that, you know, they went the other route and, you know, they ended up being a firefighter or a police officer,
yeah,
you know, in different fields. So I think it's always important when you see guys like that playing college hockey, you know, it's a great experience. Obviously, you know, you're in college, you're going to class, you're playing hockey. You know, you're getting the university life as well, like the experience. I think that's really important. I think they're very, very fortunate to come over to Belfast. It's a beautiful city. Beautiful arena, and it's been a great success there, Friendship Four. So, you know, I wish we would have had something like that. But no, I'm sure every person that did that, the Friendship Four, enjoyed their experience. And I'm sure you guys, I think, signed a few guys that have done the Friendship Four. So I guess it's good for all parties.
Yeah, and I want to stay with university just for 1 second. We were talking just before I hit record tonight, and something I didn't really know too much about that you told me about. You're actually teaching at the moment at university over there, a sports management class. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, I started teaching this year. So, you know, they approached me. We were talking the last few years because we're trying to get an extra university program that to entice, you know, a player to come on our master's program. And I was speaking to the head person there, and we were just throwing ideas. And, you know, it was something that I was always interested in, and to kind of give back to our relationship with the university, because it would be so good for us to give us a third spot. So I kind of threw it out there if they were interested, and they were. And, you know, it's been a great experience so far. I had a few guest speakers from Elliot Shaw, that now is Glasgow Rangers, and Neil Russell, that's working obviously at Man City. And last week, yesterday, essentially, we had Pete Russell, so that was an entertainment, and Kiefer knows him really well, so Pete did a fantastic job with us. We had a few giggles. We watched his GB win over France, and obviously the winner over Hungary, so we saw Pete's reaction after the win, and obviously Kiefer's reaction, so I got a bit of a laugh out of that, so that's good.
And how was former View from the Bridge panelist Neil Russell? Did he whip the room into a coma, or was he all right?
So, you know what? Funny story. Pete is very well prepared. So Pete sent me a PowerPoint for the presentation, everything to have it ready. And then, you know, I sent an email to both of them. I said, you know, I just wanted to let Neil, because Neil didn't do a PowerPoint. He just spoke on the top of his head, which he did a great job too, by the way. But just basically saying thanks, Pete, for the preparation and the commitment to my class that I value immensely. And then Neil obviously read the PowerPoint, and he says, "Well, Pash, I would have done a PowerPoint better than this." And then he corrected the grammar mistake from Pete. So that was pretty funny. So he sent me an email. He said, "Don't tell anybody, Pash, that I took 5 minutes out of my busiest day as the busiest man in Premiership football to correct Pete Russell's PowerPoint for your class." So, no, it was funny. Neil did a great job. Obviously, he started with me as a general manager at Manchester Storm, and now he's in a great position with Man City. And I had Pete Russell yesterday, that obviously is GB international head coach, and now in Freiburg in the DL too. So, no, I was very fortunate to get those guys as a guest speaker, because my class is a lot about leadership and, you know, managing people. And I think those two have great qualities for that. But it was hilarious. I'm not going to lie. the conversations after, because, I had some questions myself about what they were saying after. So not in front of the class, though.
I obviously love Neil the Coach Russell very, very dearly, but coach correcting people's grammar, sometimes old habits die hard. Listen, we'll wrap this, Pash. I really appreciate your time tonight. Just finally, when a young Omar Pasha was playing flip cup and beer pong at college, did he ever see himself bridging into the coaching side and then the business side of the game? Was that ever the dream for you?
You know what? When I was in college, it was probably I was always interested in working in sports, whether it be hockey or something regarding sports on the management side or obviously the commercial side. So the coaching, I just thought, in my college years and helping out juniors when I would come back home, I always had that, that passion for hockey. I always was a fanatic of the game. So and then obviously when I got the promotion in Hull, being a coach, it was a great experience. And you know what, it grew me as an individual, because I was doing all the budgets and everything for the players. And then obviously working with Neil, he relied on me a lot to do the business side as well. Some of the things, through the budget and, anything that I can help with. And I just felt coming into Dundee, it was a natural step to become a general manager after all the experience I had with the two other teams. So no, I'm really privileged that I'm in this spot right now as a general manager, and it's probably a position that I really, really appreciate. And obviously I'm a very passionate person about the hockey itself. So no, it's a good, good thing that it happened. But to say I was expecting that when I was playing video games in college, and probably video games. And that's probably my thing in all our NHL tournaments we would do with the team and everything at night, staying awake till 5-6 a.m. gaming. So that was pretty, and throwing, I must have broke at least 50 to 60 controllers too, and losing money gambling on four out of sevens. So yeah, it was.
I tried to pump your tires by saying flip cup and beer pong, and you tell me you were a secret gamer.
And thanks again to Joel, and especially to Pash, for taking the time to talk to Joel today. Obviously a very busy man. But yes, Simon, look, the Dundee Stars, we've played them three times already this season. I was doing a lot of analysis earlier this week for Steve Thornton and Adam Keefe regarding how we have, lined up against the Dundee Stars so far this season. And, they've had our number, let's be honest. We've played them three times. We've lost twice against them. Couple of tight games, and we talked about, I think your interview with did you interview Curtis Leonard earlier? He talked about it, and I think I said the same thing earlier in the show. Opportunistic, they trap, they sit deep, they use speed to come at you. They try, if their goaltender has a good night, you're in trouble, because they don't give up too many at their own rink. got to come to us this time. You know, I look at who's been good against them. Jordan Smotherman, 8 points through those three games against them. We're going to need big games from them. I talked to the other guys on the stat team. We have a little WhatsApp group, and they've been talking about different players that they would maybe be expecting more from. Jean Dupuis' name came up earlier. You know, could he be getting on the score sheet a little bit more? Brian Ward, Curtis Hamilton's been doing well, taking an awful lot of shots to get his goals. So, you know, but it'd be worse if he wasn't getting those shots. I think we talked that way about Patrick Ronka the other week, and then he's popped up with a goal that night. So I think you need to see a few of these boys at practice and tell them, give them the guarantee they're going to score this weekend. You know, it'll be difficult against the Dundee Stars. What about yourself?
Yeah, look, Dundee play one way against us. They line five guys. Their blue line, when we hit the red, there's one. You know, they just try and keep us the outside. It's not rocket science way. Pash sets the team up now, and it's going to be tough. You know, they play one way. They want to penalize. You know, they put the pressure on us. They want us to make mistakes, and when we make the mistakes, they have done a pretty good job of punishing us this season. We need to stay disciplined for the game itself. I think it's important that we get the chances. When we get the chances with the extra man, we really step up. So it'll be interesting to see how Dundee come against us, but I'm not expecting anything different than what I've seen this season.
And then cliche, I know it as it is, and what we talk about, we'll focus on the first game before, but we have, so we'll say for the sake of argument, the first game's over. We go into Coventry, we played them home and home just last weekend. I think in the game at the Odyssey, we were just a little percentage better in every area. I think our goaltending was better, we were better on D, we transitioned better, we took our opportunities better, and we deservedly came away with the points. I think the same extent on Sunday, there's just a little bit of a gap between the two teams at the minute, but Coventry is not an easy place to go, and they've got some really good results so far this season.
They handed the clan their dinner on Sunday.
Yeah.
Wasn't it 9-2 it finished up?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I said it last week, I thought that the Blaze were the best team I've seen this season.
Yeah.
Bobby touched on the Panthers. He thought the Panthers were the best. It's the best thing about opinions. But I was impressed with Coventry last week. I don't think it's going to be easy this weekend. And again, you've already covered the aspect of we've got Dundee to finish or worry about first on Saturday evening. So it's never easy to head in. I'm not expecting anything different than what we're used to against the Coventry Blaze this year already. But it'll be interesting to see how it goes, because you know we certainly do need to pick up two wins this weekend.
Well, we'll round that out with a really good luck to the boys home and away this weekend. As you say, 4 points would be absolutely massive for us at this stage. A little bit of a confidence booster again after picking up no points on the road last weekend. But says before we close out, have you any other business tonight?
I don't think I do, David, to be honest. I'm looking forward to seeing big Neil Russell. He's coming. So he's coming to the game on Saturday night. I know him and Paddy are talking at the minute because of Liverpool handed Man City their dinner on Sunday. But no, it'll be interesting this weekend at Selma. I'm looking forward to Dundee coming in again. But any of our business, Dave, I don't think I have anything, do you?
To be fair, Neil Russell, Neil the Coach Russell, TV's Neil the Coach Russell was on our WhatsApp group from about last Thursday, citing the old injuries about that game and saying that it would be an easy win for Liverpool. So if they did lose, he wouldn't be surprised. So he's Everton till he dies at the minute. So I've no other business apart from the get well soon, Joanna and Declan and Roisin. Hope everything's okay there. And we appreciate Paddy, even though he isn't able to come on tonight, doing all the stuff in the background to make sure this show goes out on Cool FM tomorrow morning. But if you can't get to the Odyssey on Saturday night, well, if you can, says, what's the ticket line number?
I don't know.
90.
No, it's not. It's changed. You're going to have...
Right, well, Paddy, hopefully cut that out then. And if he can, go on Ticketmaster. I'm sure you'll be able to get tickets. And obviously, if you can't, you get yourself onto Belfast Giants TV. Simon, who's going to be joining you this week?
As of tonight, I'm just going to have to see who's available. I'm sort of loaded with a goal this week. So maybe Andrew Dixon might step in and give me a night off. But I don't know if Andrew Dixon's playing, if he's backing up. No idea, so... You normally that's the side on Friday morning when Adam tells me who's good to go and who gets the night off.
And obviously then we move into Coventry on Sunday. If you're not going to the Sky Dome yourself, you'll be able to join Ed Kimberley and what's called the other fellow on Coventry Blaze TV?
Stu Coles
and Ed Kimberley. Always really good crack. A good production from Coventry. And that's it from us. Yes, we managed to muddle through there. So wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you next time here on A View from the Bridge.
Podcast Network.